Hi, I'm Alexandra Maseko, and I am the Zimbabwe Women's Basketball National Team captain, and you're listening to Mike Set Match on Capital 263. And now.
Capital 263. Another day, another episode. Well, we've been away for quite a while now, but we're back. We had some in-house issues to sort out, and I think we're good now, eh?
Well, you paid Josh.
Not really. But yeah, man, welcome to Mike Set Match. We're here in the studio. My name is Josh, at Six Legend on Twitter. Josh K is on Facebook. And we're here, Mike Set Match, brought to you by Capital 263. Free to say it, free to do it. I'm here on the studio. We have a pretty exciting match. We have some issues. We got local issues that we want to dive into. But yeah, I'm here in the studio with the usual crew, the usual suspects. I'm here with my name. Why am I thinking my name? With my man. Yeah.
Well, you paid Josh.
Lizzo, shut up.
I thought you said you resolved all issues.
No, we resolved all in-house issues that needed to be sorted out.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm here with my man, Lizwe.
What up?
Yeah, man. How's it?
Great, man. Great to be back on recording another episode. It's been a while.
Yeah, man. You look happy to be in the studio.
Finally, man. This is my place where I'm away from everything else that I do daily.
Are you trying to say your girlfriend?
Something like that.
Because yeah,
this is my happy place.
You can't test it. You can't call it when you're here.
No.
Be careful what you say.
Just those 45 minutes of bliss.
There's no girlfriend to be listening
to this thing. Yeah, man, ladies are, Lizzo is single.
Exactly.
So you let me know if you want Lizzo, then I'll let you know.
Oh, why do you have to go through you, bro?
But yeah, man, and we're also in the studio today. Okay, Lizzo is found on Twitter at Lizzo C.
Yeah.
Yeah, and on Facebook, Lizwe. Is Lizwe what? Lizwe Chitanganya on Facebook.
The Facebook
Instagram is available through me, so you hit me up, I'll give you his Instagram. And also this in the studio today, also joining us in the studio today, another member of the crew, another usual suspect. It's difficult to get in the studio this one, but yeah. Today is, we have Munya. Mr. M on Twitter is in the studio with us.
Mike said, Swiss. Mike said, Match family, how are you?
What up, man?
All right.
It's good to have Swiss in the studio as well, man. So we've got some sporting issues that we want to cover today. So let's just get right into it. Yeah, gents?
Yeah. By the way, thank you for listening to this show.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it. Really appreciate the conversations that we have post and before these recordings are done. We're very grateful for that.
Yeah, man. And just keep following us on Twitter, Mike Set Match. Facebook, we're available, Mike Set Match. And we're just going to try and also, you know, be more present on our social media and all that. So that maybe you can engage us more, you know. And, you know, let us know what you think. Let us know if we are really, really, really keen to hear what you think about our recordings and stuff. So, yeah. First things first. Boss Fidza,
the main man, you know, the person who's running our country's football. Man. What a legend.
I don't know, man. I don't know about that. But let's just get into this. For those who follow local football, you probably know this. For those who don't know it, Dynamos were playing against Highlanders. And in that match, a Dynamo striker, Lizzo is the best person to pronounce this name.
Entuba Epupa.
Yeah, that guy.
He's become a household name ever since, huh?
Yeah, man. He's been on top form for Dynamos. He's largely responsible for where they are now on the Premier League table, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And in that match, Highlanders and Dynamos, it was 1-1 at that point. And it was towards the tail end of the match. And there was a bit of, you know, tugging and pushing, you know, the usual when there's a corner kick. And he ended up headbutting a Highlanders player, which was spotted by the referee. And he was red carded. Right. Let's just stop there. Was that a red card or not, Jets?
Obviously, headbutt, you know, in any form, whether it's retaliation or you're the one starting it, it's a straight red card. You do not, we were a physical sport, but you're not that physical, you know.
It's not.
No violence.
It's not UFC.
Exactly. So that headbutt was definitely a correct decision by the referee. It's a red card. And Epupa deserved it fully. So then SuperSport caught that sort of clip. Yeah, and everyone was playing it back. And
it was quite obvious.
It was very clear that it was a headbutt and it was a deserved red card. Then,
enter your president.
Yeah, so after that red card decision was given, Dynamos was facing Capes United the next week, which is the previous week from this one. A match that we would like to highlight that they lost 1-0.
Of course, from
to the Green Machine.
Exactly. Yeah. We need to reinforce that. Yeah.
We'll keep reminding you just in case you forget.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So Dynamos had that match with Capes United coming up. And the decision was made by Zifa, largely the Zifa president from my understanding, to reverse a Pupa's red card. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now my question is, number one, is that Zifa's jurisdiction? Are they allowed to do that?
They are not allowed to do that, apparently. So what's supposed to happen is if teams have issues with the refereeing or the conduct during the match or any match, they are allowed to appeal to the local football governing body, which is the Premier Soccer League. They are the ones who then determine where the issues need to be handled in one way or the other. If there's a really bigger issue, then they can engage the Zifa board, who PSL runs under Zifa, but it's a separate entity altogether. They can run whatever plans they have by themselves.
Yeah, because remember there was the subject of a potential dispute before the court for arbitration for sport.
Mm-hmm.
The PSL is not independent as we might like to think it is.
Is it not on paper independent from Zifa?
Well, if you do check out the Zifa constitution,
mm-hmm.
it does not recognize the PSL as a separate entity, but the clubs that make up the PSL are members of Zifa, and they can be allowed to congregate and organize their fixtures and do certain things. But however, they submit themselves to the jurisdiction of Zifa.
Okay.
However, then they obviously congregate and do whatever they do in terms of the rules that they have drafted. But those
as the PSL,
as the PSL, but those rules must be subject to the Zifa constitution. So you must never lose that illusion. The mother body is always in control.
The total control. So does that mean that
Chiyangwa has a place to rescind red cards?
All right.
Or to make decisions concerning matches in the PSL. Since the PSL is, you know,
especially referee decisions.
No, I get where you're coming from. In terms of the Zifa constitution, there is a referees committee,
yes,
which is chaired by the president himself.
The president of Zifa.
Yes, as with every other person, every other member of the Zifa executive committee, they sit in respective committees, subcommittees, which are established in terms of Zifa statutes.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the host referee selection panel is determined as per the referees committee. However, then, what I think was supposed to happen, Zifa is the appellate body. What do I mean when I say so? The first port of call is the PSL matches are played in terms of PSL regulations.
Mm-hmm.
If you accumulate a certain number of yellow cards, those are rules that are laid out in terms of the PSL. It's rules and regulations of the PSL.
Mm-hmm.
And those rules and regulations, if you do follow them, they will tell you that if a decision is taken, say, by a referee, what I think should have been able to happen was that obviously there would be, if Dynamos wanted to appeal, they would do so through the relevant PSL body, because I'm sure the PSL has its own body
that deals with those issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the outcome of that appeal, then they must be able to go forth through the judicial. It's something that needs to be looked at, because right now I might not have the precise details.
Okay.
And but then now that it became, it blew up, we might actually need to look into the PSO regulations in relation to the CFA constitution, how the two relate. But true. I just want you to have that picture in mind.
Okay. All right. For those, okay, you know, this man uses a lot of big words, a lot of jargon. So let me break it down for those like me who might not have understood.
That's why you're the intro.
Yeah, man. So basically what's being said is, yeah, the PSO as a body runs under CFA. The rules of the PSL have to be in line with Zifa's constitution.
Yes.
So now what happened when the red card was given? There is a committee, a reference committee, which is supposed to review referee decisions. And I'm sure that they rate referees according to how well they've performed in a game and so forth. Mm-hmm. That is the committee to which the red card appeal was supposed to be submitted. If the outcome of that appeal wasn't satisfactory for Dynamos, then the next relevant authority was supposed to step in. However,
but the thing is, really need to get those details out.
However, CFA committee members sit on PSO committees.
No,
did I get that right?
No, you didn't get that.
All right. Let's just. Zifa, when we're speaking of subcommittees, well, I knew we lost each other at some point.
CFA has its own committees.
Okay.
We've got the referees committee,
which is chaired by the president of
exactly CFA. And okay. it is formed by the CFA constitution.
Okay,
so it assumes jurisdiction over everyone when in terms of referee
decisions.
Exactly, referee issues that are related to that, it's the one that has the ultimate say.
Okay.
Because it is formed under the constitution of the mother body.
All right, now that's clear.
You get it?
Yeah. So, what I would think is that there was a lot of jumping the gun that happened.
Yeah. What we might need to clarify is in terms of the process, because as I say this is just in abstract form.
Yeah.
But look, when we are going through some of these decisions that are taken by certain committees of important institutions like this, we need to be precise in terms of the provisions to say if you're wrong in this regard, what do the particular
who do you see?
So I feel like we owe our audience a show whereby we go through the steps as we, in terms of, like, you know, the legalities involved.
All right.
In terms of the process, just to be fair to our, we don't want to feed them.
That is true. Okay,
yeah,
let's discuss quickly what's like what I would call open source information, some stuff that's already out without getting into the finer details. The media has reported that issue as Dynamos did a very good thing by not fielding a pooper after that red card. They are saying, you know, Phil Chiangwa's decision could have actually stood, but it was, you know, down to
CFA. Didn't stand? Wasn't the red card removed?
Well, PSL then did their own press release saying that, you know, we do not associate ourselves to that decision. We still stick by that. Whether they decide to play him or not
is up to them.
It's up to them. But we stick to what the referee said. The referee said red card, and that's two games away. And if Dynamos do decide to play this player, then it's down to them. We're going to sit again after that and see what we can do about the situation.
So now you see, this is a case of two ends. Mm-hmm. It's either Dynamos decided to do the ethical thing and say, no, we're going to stand by the red card.
Mm-hmm.
Or they say, guys, if we play this player, and then the PSO comes to the decision that we played a player illegally, we might receive further punishment.
Yeah.
So why don't we just avoid it altogether? You know, that might be the
make
case
a logical
as well.
Decision. Which is there. But just, you know, brings their challenge itself. You know, it brings questions over Chiangwa's abilities as a president.
Yeah, man.
Of
what can he and can he not do?
Exactly.
What rules are there to say? Because from the way it was reported, from the way it came out, the way it happened,
mm-hmm.
it seemed like it was just a one man decision to say, you know, when I'm just sitting there in his lounge and he's like, ah, no, man, he has to play.
Yeah, those social media memes that were just thrown around of Chiangwa walking out of the stadium after that red card decision was passed. Apparently suggestions were that he was very pissed off by that decision.
Yeah.
And he was now showing his true Dynamos colors by reversing that decision 24 hours later.
Yeah, man. So now the big question becomes,
What else can you do?
Yeah, and our mother bodies, as partial as they think that they are autism being treated fairly, you know?
That's a good question.
Lots and lots of questions in regard to that, man. Yeah, and while we are still on local football, there's something that came to our attention. Well, it's been common knowledge. It's been talked about over and over. But today we had a couple of personal encounters that really brought it closer to us, and we feel like we need to discuss this.
Yeah.
How the use of, well, some say juju, some say mushonga, some say
black magic,
whatever. The use of that in our local football. How prevalent and how much does it affect our game? You know.
Do you want to share what the encounter right. that you had first?
Well, today I met a local footballer. We will not be using any names for, you know.
Can you give him a name?
No, yeah, at Namare Tikasungiswa, then we defend ourselves, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
We can't afford the lawsuit. But yeah, we met a local footballer. We're just going to call him Neymar, you know, because Neymar has been a diva. But yeah. Okay, but Neymar might sue me as well. So let me not call him that.
You just say
I'm gonna call him Lizwe. That's the easy. Yeah. I met Lizwe.
Let's call
today.
Him Brian, dude.
No, Lizwe.
Why are you calling him?
What if there's a local footballer called Brian?
There's no local footballer called Brian.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Lizwe.
We can't verify that. There's no local footballer called Brian.
Alright. Let's give him a surname. Brian Exit.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we met Mr. Exit today. Yeah. And I was having a conversation with him, and he was telling me about how his football career has progressed and so forth. And then he said, I'm in a rush, I need to go somewhere. I asked, are you going for training? What's going on? Then he's like, I'm not really. We have a match later during the course of this week. You know, I don't know if it's the weekend, it's midweek, I don't know. Because some might imply it's certain teams. I didn't mention his team. Let me just...
There are no teams.
Yeah.
Steer clear, my guy.
Brian Exit plays for...
A certain team.
He plays for a team.
Yes.
And this man said, I need to go and see my Sekuru. And that the point of his journey to this place was that he needed to get some of this... juju, some of this black magic, because he felt weary, he felt tired after his training session, and he believed that this weariness, this tiredness was caused by being bewitched by one of his teammates. And he needed to go to visit the Sekuru to counter that, because apparently they are fighting for spots.
What's a Sekuru, Josh?
That's what I'm just using the words that he used. He said a Sekuru.
Oh, okay.
So I'm assuming it's a witch doctor. It's a prophet, or you know, I don't know.
So there's no prophet called Sekuru.
Sorry,
prophets are called Papa.
Oh, right, called
yeah,
Papa.
All right.
He's saying that someone bewitched him.
Yes, that he was saying that he feels tired,
wow.
Unusually tired, like he's carrying something on his back, and he needs this witch doctor of his to deal with it, so that when team selection comes, he's actually able to fit into the squad and play on the day.
That sounds ridiculous.
Wow.
And prior to that, another footballer, I think Munya was there. I don't know if he was part of the conversation, but we had some local Mabuza match. And there was a local footballer there who had just come from his training session, and he had his soccer boots on him. One of the guys asked for the soccer boots, and he said, how can I use your soccer boots to just play, you know, in this match? And this guy says, no, you can't. So I didn't understand why, you know, you'd refuse to just lend somebody boots for, you know, a 90 minute run. And I asked him, and he said, in his words, boots are zipiwe wanu baba unopera.
Wow.
And when I inquired further, okay, for those who don't understand Shona, what he said is, you can't give your boots to other people, your career is over. What? Then I asked further, what do you mean? Then he said, you know, in local football, you know, there's a lot of this black magic going on, and some of it is tied to even the things that you wear, that you must not share them with other people.
Wow.
Because then it wears off, and that's the end of the story for you. So now I'm confused.
Well, this is breathtaking.
What's going on? What's going on, man?
All right, I have so many questions. Firstly, you know, isn't this just psychological? Because I've played sports.
Listen, have you been to a Sekuru?
I've never been to a Sekuru.
All right.
The first question was, you know, isn't this just psychological? And two, if it really works, how come the best footballer in the world is either a South American or a European?
Why can we not win the AFCON with our Sekurus?
Hey, our Sekurus need to step their game
up. That's a point.
Our Sekurus aren't good enough.
Maybe the Zambian Sekurus are very strong. You know, they won the AFCON. South African guys have won the AFCON before. You know, the West African teams are always on the regular.
Yeah, man. Malawi
should be a regular at the World Cup.
But then also it brings up a lot of questions. Are we saying we don't have the talent? Are we saying we can't play football? Are we saying players are so malicious that they're doing this to each other? What's going on?
It's tricky. For me, it's really, this is my opinion over this. It's really psychological. You don't believe in it? Yes, I do not believe in it. I have not encountered it like in that way. And I believe it, if it really worked, you know, these guys would be superstars.
Well,
how come they only afford to play for $200 or whatever it is they earn in Zim football and they never really...
There's no need to mention players. There's no need to...
Well, my bad, I take that back.
That's a personal attack now.
I take that back. But yeah, how come these guys are never £500,000 per week players, for example?
Well, maybe the Sekurus are the ones that are selecting that. They're not good enough for them. They're not world class.
But look, I mean, we've seen it time and again with some of those things. It never works. Even if you are bewitching or like a goblin that spits money or
that
something like that. That doesn't exactly. At the end of the day, nothing really materializes. So I just don't get what the fuss is.
Because you know what? When you get into these circles, you realize that this is actually more prevalent than we think.
It is. There's been a whole lot of stories.
Yeah.
I think two seasons back, another footballer was charged for allegedly throwing a bottle full of his own urine to the opposition benches.
That was some sort of ritual.
Yeah, it was some ritual. Yeah. Like, why are you even doing that? Does it work? Where does it take you? For me, it's really just like a coach telling you that Josh, you're the best player on the pitch. Instead of that process of the coach just telling you and motivating you, you're using some other belief. Like you're going to a Sekuru and he tells you, you're going to have to.
So are you saying there's no black magic music? Let's just clarify this. Are you saying it's there or not?
Up until there's proof.
Hey, there, like guys.
I'm saying it's there, but I don't think it's there in football.
No, in football it's there because, you know what? When you really sit down with local footballers and you hear some of the stories that they tell you, it sounds like stuff out of my Azuka movie.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking that you'd
expect to see. It's a plot for a Nollywood movie. But apparently these things are real. Like, you know, getting into the dressing room and there's like the coach is slaughtering chickens and you know the blood is being sprinkled everywhere. Or there's a local coach who uses there's 11 candles or like placed in the same formation that you're going to be playing on the field, you know.
Shucks.
And if you go onto the pitch and you come back and have time and your candle is switched off, it means you're the one Angachich Giza and you need to go off, then another candle is put there. There's a whole lot of stories. I'm telling you.
So creepy.
One day I'll take you this way and you'll listen to these stories.
Oh, maybe one day
I know it happens, but I'm just judging the effectiveness of these methods.
Exactly. Yeah,
when you talk to a method, it must be.
Okay, let's say these methods are there. Who are they helping? Because
certainly not the fans in our football.
Not the fans, not the stand of the football, not the players themselves, because, you know, as much as we love local football, the quality is just, you know.
It's drab.
I don't know.
These guys haven't managed. I don't think we have had a guy score more than 15 goals in the past 10 years. I don't know. could be one guy.
There's strikers who haven't reached 15 goals in their whole career.
Exactly. And all this time you're going to see this Sekuru, apparently. You're getting all this juju. You're getting all these jabs. Everything. You're eating all these weird animals. Yeah. What's going on, man?
You know what?
So what? Why are you even doing it if there's no result?
More than anything, I think this is one of the factors that drags our quality of football down. Because, I mean, even now, remember when South Africa even used to scramble for our players? Who are they scrambling for right now? There's nobody. Like, there's no talk about
Zimbabwean players.
About the Zimbabwean players. In SA, which we think is a bit of a... Okay, no, I don't want to insult you. Piece of it, but anyway. It's this juju. It needs to stop.
And you know what? There was another guy on Twitter. I'm pretty sure all of you saw it. We used to tell stories about back in the footballing day.
We should get him here.
Yeah, we should, actually, so that we can clarify these stories. He didn't play in the Premier League, I think. I don't think he played in the Premier League.
Division 1
football. And he told stories, endless stories, stories on stories on stories of how he saw a lot of this juju happening. One time he went to a team and he couldn't see when he was on the pitch.
Oh, wow.
As soon as he left the pitch, he could see, you know. He told it a whole lot of stories. So maybe we need a first hand source in the studio.
I'm not going to mention him
in case he doesn't want his name out there.
And if
he wants to come in the studio anonymously, we are happy to do that.
We can do the recording anonymously.
Yeah, because we really need to get to the bottom of this and understand, Kuti. What the fuck is going on?
Exactly.
Genuinely. Like, what the fuck is going on?
What's going on?
What's the point?
I'm talking about, these salary discrepancies between footballers. A £500,000 per week footballer has allegedly tried to push, not even allegedly, the clips are out there. He's trying to push a senior player
out of the team.
Sort of. Basically, he wants to take charge of all set pieces,
corners, kicks, penalties,
throw-ins.
Don't say it like that.
Substitutions.
He wants to talk to the referee.
He wants to be the captain, but he can't be the captain yet. That's Neymar Jr.
Watching the clips of that match, of the altercations between Neymar and Cavani, I was shocked, Like, these are professional players. This is the highest level of football. This is, like, football does not get any better than where they are now. And a penalty is awarded to your team. And you argue in front of all the fans, all the other players, about who is taking it. Mm-hmm. Or Cavani took it and he missed. Is enough. What happens?
Those are the perks.
And next thing, there's a free kick. Now you're arguing again about who takes it. Another player intervenes. Dani Alves came. He took the ball. He gave it to Neymar, who is also his Brazilian teammate. And now apparently they had a huge bust up in the local room after the game.
And
the captain, is he the captain? Is Thiago Silva the captain?
Yes.
The captain, Thiago Silva, had to intervene to stop the fist fight that was about to happen. And apparently Cavani walked out after he disagreed with the whole team, basically.
So about who was wrong? Whose side are you on?
I'm just reiterating the story for those who might have missed it. So basically, this is what happened. They had an altercation of a penalty, which Cavani took and missed. They had another altercation of a free kick, which Neymar then took and he also missed. Both of them didn't score in that match.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, PSG won 2-0 because of two own goals. And so now they had a huge fight in the local room about this whole issue. And Cavani apparently walked out because he was angry. And yeah, that's basically where PSG is at now. Now they've got two big name players. Both are not happy with the situation regarding this thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I read a report today that said the PSG confirmed that he did not actually assign tasks to anyone.
Yes, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently he said, I left the players to figure it out for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
To say who's going to take what. But let us also clarify that prior to Neymar signing for PSG this season, Cavani is the one who took all PSG's penalties when he was on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yes. So those are the facts. Right. who was wrong and who was right.
Mr. M was quite loud about it on his Twitter.
Exactly. I stand with Neymar.
Okay. Neymar was right.
Neymar was right.
Make the case.
All right. You see, when Neymar was bought, obviously his purchase price itself,
yeah,
goes
the
to
most expensive player in the history of football.
Exactly. It goes on to explain his importance to any other team to say, look, he's the hottest player at the moment.
Okay.
So if you noticed how that Argentinian center forward, what's his name? Javier Pastore.
Uh-huh.
Before the moment it was announced that Neymar was coming through, he did realize that Neymar is like the new face of PSG.
Okay.
To an extent where he was like, I will relinquish the legendary 10 to you because I know what you're capable of doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And basically, in a team, players need to know their places in the world.
Okay.
You need to come to terms with the fact that this guy is good. Look, PSG now, when you talk about PSG, to be honest with you, the first thing that comes to your mind is Neymar, the most expensive player in the world. And Neymar's performance itself of late, for me, I feel like he has got to a stage where he can afford to bear the responsibility of a team. And what does that mean when you bear the responsibility of a team? It means whenever there is a chance or an opportunity for the team to take the lead in terms of a set piece,
yeah,
a tempo, exactly, you give it to your best player. For me, it's straightforward. Cavani is just not as
all
good
right.
as me.
Alright, that okay, you're right. Let me just clarify a few things there.
Alright.
So let's say there's a set piece, right?
Yes.
At your favorite club, Man United.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Who is your set piece taker?
We have no set piece taker. United, right? It's a bunch
it's
of
not,
names.
It's not, yeah. it's not automatically the best team, is it? The best player.
No.
It's not, right? No, I'm just
need to clarify.
No, that's different.
With Man U, at this point in time, we do know that if a set piece is to the right, it makes more sense for you to give Mata because
okay.
he's left to do it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Then if it's to the left, then perhaps we might give it to Pogba.
Mkhitaryan has been taking the set pieces, mostly.
So
for us, it's open. There's no real
right.
exactly. one set piece
right, in terms of PSG, let's talk about this season stats. You know, goal scoring wise, creating chances wise, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Cavani has scored 7 times this season.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Neymar has scored 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
What that says to somebody looking at those two players on paper is that Cavani is the better goal scorer. Whether it's regardless of whether other factors that come into play is why, then his position,
and
so forth.
But the fact is,
Cavani is the better goal scorer, is more prolific for PSG now.
Yeah.
You're rating that in terms of goals, but imagine all those times Neymar had to feed Cavani.
Exactly. So then, if there's a penalty, because right now the team was under pressure, mm-hmm. and there's a penalty,
indeed.
They needed that goal.
Indeed.
Who do we trust more? The guy who's been scoring more, or the guy who's been creating more?
Look, personally, I've never really been that much of a fan of Cavani. I respect him. Wait, I respect him. Look, he misses out of 5 balls. You probably score 2 at best.
Yeah, like
or at his very best.
Like Lukaku.
Yeah. Don't go.
All right.
I feel like Neymar, given the chance, the same chances that Cavani would get,
Neymar would
probably be way ahead of Cavani in terms of clinical finishing.
But yeah, there's a lot of factors to that as well, because this season, Cavani has not been like that. Last season and seasons prior. But this season, Cavani has been pretty precise.
Service, my brother.
Yes, exactly.
He has improved.
Exactly. The service has improved. So you cannot also blame him for missing the other chances. Because the service was poor.
Still not as clinical. But I'm thinking, I'm conflicted, I think Neymar was a bit childish in terms of his approach. He could have, spoken to Cavani in a better way, or either
both of them could have spoken to each other in a better way.
Clarify this issue before they actually go onto the pitch that, hey, dude, if we get a penalty, I'm going to take it. Then they're cool, or, they agree before they actually get onto the pitch.
Yeah.
So the way Neymar then, you know, tried to push his way through, that was kind of hard, you know, for Cavani to take it easier. Then Cavani as well, I think, you know, I support Mr. M here. I think you should just realize that there's a new boy in town, and this boy, his role, you know,
he's the real deal.
I believe Neymar was signed to be, you know, to get those records that he was unable to get at Barcelona. This is his chance to hit those top goals. This is his chance to hit those top assists, as opposed to what he was doing at Barcelona. So I think naturally you'd expect that everyone would just give him the chance whenever any chance comes up. You know, that Neymar is going to be taking that.
I actually wanted to address that as well. To say he left Barcelona to become his own man, because every time there was going to be a mention of his brilliance, there had to be Messi alongside to say, Messi has let him do this. I don't think Neymar is the kind of player to want to say, just because, you know, of Messi, I am where. No, he needs to prove to the world that I can do it.
That becomes then PSG's problem, not Cavani. You know, because in his own right, Cavani also wants to be the top man.
He wants
to be among the elite strikers. He is among the elite strikers, top five for me.
He's always complaining. Ever since Zlatan was still at PSG, he was always banging.
And you know, maybe in selling PSG, PSG was saying to Cavani, you know, in selling Zlatan, I mean, PSG was saying to Cavani, you know what?
This is your chance.
And he's taken it.
Yeah,
30 plus goals.
Yes.
Almost every other season.
Up until he didn't show up in that very the biggest comeback of all time.
Yeah, man. But anyway, you see, so now, is it not down to PSG's management to say when Neymar came,
that is true,
these issues should have been addressed even before the season started? Because you know what? We're like, what? 4 or 5 games into the season?
Yeah.
And
about 2 months now.
And we don't know who is our designated penalty taker.
I think it also, don't know it also goes back to their current manager. I think he's got to a point where his capability and
the dressing room is definitely bigger than him.
It's definitely bigger than him, because that's one of the first things you should address. As a manager, you have a philosophy to say, okay, fine, they bought for me one of the best players in the world, arguably. And am I going to build a team around that? Do we change the setup? Those things weren't addressed. Yeah. I mean, they expected it to work.
And you know what? I was watching that Neymar and Cavani bust up, and I was just thinking, you know what? They have a third player who in his own right should be there as well, saying, guys, I need to take this. Because we have Kylian Mbappe there as well.
Exactly.
Superstar, wonder kid. And he's also been sent for big
Julian
money.
Julian Draxler as well.
You see? You know? And he's also been sent for big money.
Yeah.
So Mbappe in his own right can stand there and say, guys, listen, I'm also a big player. I also need to make my
name. Was he not top goal scorer in France last season?
Mbappe,
you know, he can make a shout penalty I should be taking.
Yeah.
It then goes back to my point. The first thing Mbappe said when he was signed by PSG was that I'm here to give Neymar the Ballon d'Or.
He knows his place.
If you go to Barcelona, any player will sign will come and say, I'm here to make Messi look better than you guys actually think he is. So the very same thing needs to happen to PSG. However, then I feel like Cavani is at that point where he cannot be able to step away and say, no, look,
I'm giving the platform to another player.
So at best, the way things are moving on right now,
Cavani's out.
Cavani is going. It's going
so there's three people here. You know, Neymar is definitely going in. I saw somebody who came on Twitter to me and he said, you know what, if European, because I was saying, if I owned a European club, if I was a manager at a top European club and I was looking to sign a striker, I'll throw in a cheeky bid for Cavani, you know.
That is true. I doubt he might move in January, but end of season.
I was
thinking Liverpool, a team like Liverpool, that needs a really outstanding striker.
Respect Cavani. But anyway, this person then said, no club should actually go for the big name, then that is Neymar. And I was saying, Neymar is not going anywhere. PSG did not sign Neymar for 222 million to sell him just after one season.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a lot of money invested in a player, and he's definitely going anywhere. So it's either Neymar is Neymar is not leaving.
He's not going anywhere.
It's either Cavani is going to leave, or the coach is going to be fired for failing to manage the dressing room.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the big name coach comes who is able to say to Cavani, listen, you're going to make your own name, but in this way, not in the way that you wanted to do it. But please, let's give Neymar the platform. If they find a manager who can do that in Cavani's stays, PSG are going to be, you know.
For me, I think a bit of both will happen at the end of the season. Manager leaves, Cavani leaves, allowing Mbappe that central striker role. He was another big money signing. So he's a striker and he's going to naturally move into that space. They have Julian Draxler, they have
Di Maria,
they have Pastore as well. Yeah. You know, they have all these wide players who are now just sitting because these three are
there. The wide positions have been taken up by strikers, basically.
Exactly. So I think Cavani is going to move. Emery, the coach, is going to move as well at the end of the season. I'm hoping Wenger moves there for the good of us.
No, come on. That's probably not going to happen. We want PSG to do well. Exactly.
I mean, you walk over that French league, Arsene Wenger.
My guy.
You walk it through. You walk
Wenger
it through.
Will finish 14th for that.
No, you know what? My preference would be more inclined to choose Carlo Ancelotti.
Yeah.
I think he's more of a balanced manager. He's calm.
And he's experienced. He's got experience to manage such a dressing room.
Yeah, plus he's not really stable at Bayern. You know, there's talk of he's not really doing it the Bayern way, and there's some noises coming out of that camp you could actually even move to China.
Pep destroyed Bayern Munich.
Yeah, they just need to find themselves back, you know, and I think Bayern should just hire a former Bayern player to just get the system back functioning. Then a top manager will complete the whole turnaround. Yeah, but that's really it.
Yeah, man. So
share with us what you think. Yeah. Sorry.
The speculation is that Cavani will leave. Emery will have to leave as well because I don't think he's going to win the Champions League, which is what PSG wants.
Exactly.
And I think that's going to be the end for him at PSG. And yeah, that's it of Juju, of dubious decisions by Zifa presidents.
Zimbabwean players.
I thought you were going to say of dubious presidents.
If you're listening to this, stop this Juju business. You need to pray more. I think we would rather hear players pray.
Develop the talent.
I think people should believe in what they believe in. As long as it works for them, you know. Really.
All right.
Yeah.
They flip flopping.
No, that's my stance.
Flip flopping.
I don't think it's like I said, it really works. I don't think it works, but if it's there, hey, come on. Believe in what you believe.
If ever what you're saying is anything to go by, today I was reading this Newsday article on Tafadzwa Rusike. Now that you've mentioned what you've mentioned, it then raises certain
questions.
Exactly,
you know,
in terms of his fitness, because he has to a point where his own club had to terminate his contract. That's what was reported.
Oh, that's a malicious report. That was his side of events. But the Caps United side of events is he misrepresented the club in a deal for a car. And they had to fire, they had to terminate his contract. So that story is his own side of events. So he's saying, the management is unhappy with my injuries. But he's been playing. He played in the other Harare Derby just 2 weeks before. Then now he's been fired and he's not playing. But, you know, now he's just blaming injuries. But it's really, the club said he misrepresented the club in a car deal.
They felt
it was just too much of fraud activity.
Fraudulent business.
Exactly.
You're trying to make a life for yourself and you spit in the very same place. You actually
blame the Sakuru.
All right, man. That was a nice one with the gents in the studio. From me, from Munya, from Lizwe.
Yep. Oh, just before we go, Zimbabwe women's team are in the semifinals of COSAFA. You know, it's being hosted in Bulawayo. They're playing Kenya on Thursday.
Yeah. I think Zambia plays South Africa tomorrow in the other semifinal.
Yeah.
And I assume then the final means the final is going to be on Sunday.
I hope the Zimbabwe team makes it.
Defending champions, by the way. Don't forget that.
Yeah, Mighty Warriors. We're behind you. Mike said Mike is behind the Mighty Warriors. All 100%. And we wish you. Not the other Amai, but this one.
Yes. Imagine what did we... It would be like if Dr. Amai actually went to Blair to watch the final if the girls made.
Hey, she went to get her money, bro. she went to work.
She's somewhere else.
Amai is working. But yeah, man. From me and the gents, it's been a good one.
Yep.
Until next time, this is Mike's Match. We're brought to you by Capital 263.
Cheers. And now, Capital 263.